Thank you, Jesus. You're a good, good father. It's who you are.
Who you are.
Who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
Who I am.
You're a good, good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
It's who you are. Oh, it's who you are.
And I'm loved by you. You.
It's who I am.
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 Good, good father. You're a good, good father.
Thank you, Lord.
You're so good. You're so good.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're a good, good father.
God, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. Use this vessel in this moment, Lord, as you choose, and let my life, let it praise you. Give us ears to hear what your spirit has to say, Lord God, to the church. Give us hearts and minds to obey your will. We're depending on you and you alone. Have your way in us, upon us, and with us, and through us, O God, that we might glorify your name. We ask and receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. We, as has been noted several times, and it's true, we're living in some interesting times, perilous times, times when there are different things being presented to us. There are distractions. There are things that, if we're not careful, will cause us to look and focus again on things that we shouldn't focus on. But there's a thought that I was carrying in my mind and trying to develop, but we need to get to a point, and if some of us are at that point, we need to make sure we stay at a point where we're satisfied with Jesus. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Satisfied with Jesus. We'll begin in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And beginning at verse number 5, and we'll primarily deal with the latter part of 5, but at verse number 6. But we find comfort in the Word of God. We find strength. We find encouragement and inspiration in the Word of God. Now there's some discussion in the biblical scholars realm about who the author of the book of Hebrews is. Some say it's Paul, some say it's other people. But one thing we do know, it is the Word of God. Amen? So we won't, as it were, major on minors, but we're minor on majors. Or did I flip that around? I flipped it. But we'll deal with what's really important. All right? So in this 13th chapter, in verse number 5, I have the AMPC version of the Bible. And it's interesting that this verse kind of pops up, but it hit my mind a certain way. It says, let your character and moral disposition, be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances, with what you have. I think that's a message which in itself right there. Because we spend, sometimes we're prone to spend an inordinate amount of strength, time, and thinking about how we can get more. And sometimes if we are not careful, it can affect our character, because we'll cross the line and do certain things just to get more. We'll do some questionable things just to get more. And if we're not careful, we'll move from doing questionable things to doing ungodly things just to get more. But here the writer has, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, has God instructed him to share this in Scripture so we can look at it. And one of the great things about God's Word is it is living. Although it was written years ago, it still has the power, if we take heed to it, to help us and to change our lives right in the day that we're living in. And it is appropriate for this day that we're living in. So our character and our moral disposition needs to be free from the love of money. And he said, and be satisfied with your present circumstances. Sometimes we wrestle with that because everybody wants to do better. Huh? He said, be satisfied with your present circumstances, with what you have. But when I look at my neighbor, or I look at my brother, or I look at my sister, you know, there's something that creeps up in me if I'm not careful, that covetous spirit would want me to, how come they got that? And how did he or she or they get that? But the Scripture says that we need to be satisfied with our present, with what's going on right now. Well, that might be a hard pill to swallow, because you don't know what I'm going through. He didn't say be satisfied with what you hope to get. He said with your present circumstances. Watch this. For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. So here's a challenge in our faith. You mean to tell me that in spite of everything that's going on right now, in spite of everything that I'm dealing with right now, I need to be satisfied? Yes, that's exactly what God is saying. And as soon as we reckon in our minds to do that, having God's promise that God said he ain't gonna never fail us. Huh? He will never fail us. He will never give you up, nor leave you without support. God said, I'm gonna support you. He said, I will. He said it twice. I will not. Three times. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. I will not relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. God is saying, I got you. What you worrying about? What you fretting for? What you spinning your wheels and wearing yourself out and tiring yourself out and racking your brain where you can't even get a good night's sleep? God said, I got you. I got you. Huh? Relax. Relax. Go to sleep, because God ain't sleep. God saying, I got you. So we take comfort. This ought to give us some comfort. Huh? Well, nobody knows. No, no. Oh, don't sing that song no more. Nobody knows the trouble. God knows. Huh? He said, I got you. He said, I will not relax my hold on you. Right? And then the scripture comes to my mind that says, no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. Right? God said, I'm not going to loosen my grip on you. I got you. Huh? I got you. And nobody going to be able to pry my fingers. I'm holding you. I got you. This is what God is saying. He said, I'm not going to leave you without support. I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of such things before you even ask him. God wants to boost somebody's confidence. God wants to encourage somebody this morning. God wants to lift your level of faith. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what's going on in your house, no matter what's going on in your finances, no matter what's going on in your body, no matter what's going on in your relationships, God said, I got you. I got you. So we take comfort. We take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, see, now you got to believe this before you can do this. You see, now God, listen, it's time for those who may be sitting on the fence and say, well, am I going to really trust in God? Get off that fence. You mess around and get a splinter. Get off that fence. So we can take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'm going to give God praise right now for being my helper. Huh? When the Lord is your helper, that's all you really need. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I ain't going to press the panic button no more in my life. Because the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. I ain't scared of nobody and nothing. I ain't bragging on myself because the Lord is my helper. And definitely we need this word right now. Huh? We need this word right now. We need this to be ringing in our souls and ringing in our hearts and ringing in our ears, because there's all kind of stuff that's happening, but the Lord is our helper. So what can man do to me? He can't do nothing to me that God won't allow. Why? Because I'm in his hand. I'm in his hand. We're in his hand. I want to borrow a scripture that we had in Bible study. Shameless plug. Come to Bible class. Amen. When I looked at this scripture, oh, it got me excited. It got me excited. Here's what it says in Psalms 16 and verse 5. This ought to set off fire, spiritual fireworks in our heart, this scripture here. Watch this. He said, Psalm 16, verse 5, Amplified, says, the Lord is my chosen and assigned portion, my cup. You hold and maintain my lot. I got excited about this. The Lord is my assigned, he's my chosen and my assigned portion. God has everything that is supposed to come to us as individuals, God has already assigned it to us. The Lord is my chosen and assigned portion. He's my cup. You hold and maintain my lot. Not only does he hold me, but he holds everything about me. Huh? He holds it. Not only does he hold it, he maintains it. That means everything that God has for you, everything that God will allow to happen, it has already been preordained by God. Only thing we have to do is continue to walk in agreement with his word, and he holds it and he maintains it. That means the things that God has for me, and most importantly, their spiritual blessings, he will not allow dust to accumulate on the spiritual blessings that he has for us. He maintains it. God looks over our life. God orders our steps. God daily loads us with benefits. God is our protector. He's our deliverer. He's our strength. He's our strong tower. He is, you talk about a maintenance contract. God has written in his word to maintain everything that involves our life. God is so much God and so holy and so awesome and so mighty that God has guaranteed to get us from earth to glory. That's why I'm satisfied with Jesus. God is, look at God, he's going to present us to himself without a fault. Glory to God. Who can do that but God? The Lord is my chosen. When I looked at that, I got excited. Because, listen, he chose us when we were his enemies. Glory, he chose us. John said something in the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, verse 16. This kind of amplified this verse in Psalms. When I read this again, it says, "You have not chosen me." Oh, glory. "But I have chosen you." Look at that. God said, you ain't picked me, but I picked you. I picked you before you even realized that you were you. Glory. Hallelujah. I picked you before you knew yourself. I picked you from the foundation. Oh, we're going to get the scripture. But I picked you. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Uh-oh. Not only did I choose you, I have appointed you. God said, there's some things in your life. There's some personal ministry that God has chosen and appointed you to do. There's some things that God will get out of you that will give him glory, that will give him praise, that will shut every mouth of every gainsayer against you. God said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you. I have planted you." Oh, you've been planted by God. That's why you can't go nowhere. That's why God won't leave you alone, because you've been planted by God, that you might go and bear fruit. God said, "You're going to be fruitful. I've chosen you to be fruitful. I've chosen you to do my will, that you may bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit." God said, "You ain't a one-hit wonder." God said, "You're going to be bearing fruit your entire existence, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain, abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give it to you." God said in his word that you have been chosen, you've been appointed, and you've been planted to bear fruit. And when you ask anything, when we ask anything in Jesus' name, as presenting all that he is. See, you got to ask in the authority and in the character of Jesus. You got to know something about Jesus to ask as presenting all that he is. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I don't need nothing else. I really don't. I'm satisfied with Jesus. The same Jesus that saved me, that filled me with the Holy Ghost. And when we were living in that one hotel room, I'm satisfied with that Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. The same Jesus when we had that three-legged plug-in pot. That's the Jesus that I'm satisfied with. And we found out millions of ways to cook top ramen. I was happy just to be saved, and I'm still happy as I was then. In fact, I'm more happy because he has blessed me beyond my wildest dreams. So if I have to go back, listen here, if I have to go back to a plug-in pot, I know how to survive. Yes, I do. If I have to go back to eating top ramen, thank God they made some vegetable, they made some vegan ramen, glory, hallelujah, where I'm going to get all the junk that I was getting before. But I'm not saying that I will go back, but if I have to go back, no matter what happens, I'm satisfied with Jesus. Why? Because he saved my soul. I was on my way to hell, and so were you. But God, through his love, God, through his grace, God, through his mercy, while we were living downtown on Skid Row, he allowed us to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, you may not have been on Skid Row physically, but you might have been
been in the skid row mentality in your mind. Because I hear the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I hear God said again that he's not willing that any should perish. So whether you were in Beverly Hills, Baldwin Hills, or no hills, I'm glad that Jesus went to a hill called Calvary. And he went to that cross and he hung himself up on that cross and he died for every one of our sins. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with his death. I'm satisfied with his burial. I'm satisfied with his resurrection. I'm satisfied with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, because the word tells us emphatically, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in us, it shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal body. Listen, I don't have to have a 401k, but I got the one true living God on the inside. And when this is all over, before in fact it's all over, God's gonna come back, and he's coming back for us. Glory, hallelujah, God's coming back for us. I'm satisfied. We used to sing, you can have this whole world, just give me Jesus. And the one songwriter said, I got Jesus and that's enough. What you looking for? I ain't looking for nothing but the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied. Listen, God has said he'll never leave us, neither will he forsake us. So if I got to go through whatever I got to go through, I'm confident that I'm doing just that. I'm going through it. I ain't gonna get stuck in no trial. I ain't gonna get stuck in no test. God, the same God who spoke the world into existence, is the same eternal God, the everlasting God, the almighty God, has wrapped himself up in flesh. He lived a sinless life as Jesus Christ, went to the cross for your sin and your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin and Shamo's sin. He went to the cross and he nailed the handwriting ordinances that was against us, and they buried him in that tomb. But the scripture said, and he declared it before he went to the tomb, I'm gonna get up in 3 days. Glory, hallelujah. And just like the scripture foretold, he got up on the third day with all power. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Guess what? He ascended after 50 days. He walked around after his resurrection, showed them folks he was alive, ate with them. And the Bible said in the book of Acts that he ascended up into heaven. And before that, he said in John 14, I ain't gonna leave you comfortless. Woo! I'm so glad that the real God, the real deal God, the true and living God, did not leave us comfortless. He said, I will come unto you. And guess what he did? He sent back the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. God in residence. Glory. Can you imagine just for a moment that we have the Almighty God? We have El Shaddai on the inside. Oh God, we got Elohim, y'all, on the inside. We got the everlasting God on the inside, and he has promised never to leave us. So if I have to go back to eating bologna sandwiches, I'm gonna praise God for bologna just like I praise him for steak. Glory, hallelujah. I'm satisfied with Jesus. You hear what I said? I am satisfied with Jesus, because the Bible said that we, look at God, we were chosen in him before the foundation. Glory, that blows my mind. Before the foundation of the world. So before Moses wrote Genesis, we were already chosen. Glory, chosen in him, chosen in him. Sometimes you don't get invited to the parties. You don't get invited to the social gatherings. Your name may not be on a VIP list on this side of eternity, but guess what? Your name is on a VIP list victory in progress. Glory. Hallelujah. When he went to the cross, he was thinking about us, y'all. He was thinking, he was thinking about us. Sometimes, in our day-to-day interactions, and we hear about people that go through some things that are adverse to the human spirit. Sometimes we will say, I feel for you. Yeah, I got love for you. Yeah, and then sometimes that's the farthest that we go is expressing that. But God, he commended his love toward us. He didn't just feel for us. He did something about it. Glory, hallelujah. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were renegades, while we were rebels, while we were raunchy, while we were ungodly, while we was workers of iniquity, while we were the enemies of God, he died for us. That's why I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I don't need nothing else to happen but the Lord to come. And I'm trying my best. Wait a minute. I'm doing my best. Because it ain't trying time, it's doing time. Glory, hallelujah. So I got to walk in agreement. See, try is a setup. But I ain't going to fall for a setup. I'm going to walk. Listen, I got to declare this. I got to declare this. You have to declare this. I will walk. I will walk according to God's word. He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So I ain't going to get off track. I'm going to walk in agreement with God's word until he takes me either by the grave or take us all up in the rapture. Why? Because I'm satisfied with Jesus. So I tell the devil straight in his eyeball, you can bring all those trinkets and the shiny and flashy things you want. I'm going to keep my eye on Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this might look good and that might look good, but the end thereof is death. But I'm so glad that God has delivered us from death. I'm glad. I'm satisfied that we already died. Yes, we did. We died to ourselves. We died to the world. We should have. Ain't no zombies in here. Either you're dead or you ain't. I'm so glad that we died to sin. We got buried in that water in Jesus' name. Remember the time when you couldn't wait to get to the church house. Remember the time when you were waiting at the gates for the deacons and the trustees to open up the gate. What happened now? Gate wide open, and here you come, barely creeping in, 30 minutes into the service, 45 minutes into the service. What happened to your satisfaction? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Some of y'all changed that to your personal version. I was mad when they said unto me, I got to go to church again. I hear God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is, even more so when you see the day approaching. We trying to tell you what time it is. It ain't no time for half-stepping. That's what she said. Ain't no time for shucking and jiving. It ain't no time for you to play it close to the vest. It's time for you to make your calling and election sure. Who's on the Lord's side this morning? Who's looking for him to come back at any moment? Who's looking for God? No, y'all ain't looking. You just clapping. Because if you were looking, you would be living a different way. Yeah, you looking in here, but how you looking when you get out there? Let me get back to my notes. All that wasn't notes. That was just float. God had me floating on that one. Amen. Ephesians 4, I got to let you go soon because it don't take long. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, even in his love, he chose us. Who knows what it feels like to be overlooked? Who knows what it feels like to be discarded? Who knows what it feels like to be disrespected? Who knows what it looked like to be the outside man or the outside woman? Well, don't invite them. They're gonna fill in the blank. They're gonna be a party pooper. We can't let our hair down around them. Oh no, because you know we're gonna be doing our thing. That's what got you in the trouble that you're in. Doing your thing. You need somebody. Accountability, spiritual accountability is not a bad word. It's not a bad phrase. Iron sharpens iron. Glory. Look at this. He said, in Ephesians 1:4, even as in his love, he chose us. He actually picked us out for himself as his own. Oh man, my mind, I can't even really wrap my head around it, because I look at my life before I was saved and see the wicked things that I've done. And here the scripture is saying that God chose us. He actually picked us out for himself as his own. Watch this. In Christ, before the foundation of the world, he chose us. Handpicked us. I want him with all the lies that he's going to tell. Oh, God. I still want him. I want him. Even though he's going to be a stick-up kid for a little while, I still want him. I want him with all the drugs that he's going to take. Give me him. I want him with all those felonies that he's going to get on his rap sheet. Yeah, I still want him. I want him where he's going to be homeless from the East Coast to the West Coast, sleeping on benches, eating in soup kitchens. Yeah, I still want him. I want him. He's going to have to migrate through foster care. Yeah, I still want him. And he's going to get abused in one of them, but I still want him. I want him. I want him because he's going to be the product of an alcoholic daddy. I still want him. I want him, even though his mama got some mental challenges, I still want him. I want him, even though he's going to grow up with people making fun of him because they're on welfare, I still want him. I want him because he's going to have a severe speech impediment and won't be able to utter a sentence inside of 4 or 5 minutes. I still want him. And when God got ready, listen, that's why I have to say, we as apostolics don't have a corner on God. Because when God got ready to heal me from that speech impediment, I was in a Baptist church. Who can tell God? Who can set barriers and boundaries on God? We ain't God. So when God got ready in Queens, New York, 111-19, 207th Street in Jamaica, Queens, in the basement after a prayer meeting, all the other kids had went to bed and I was still woke. So it was the tradition of those blessed people from First Baptist Church in Far Rockaway, New York. If we live in the Lord will, we coming to see y'all. Amen. And we just give us 5 minutes to give our testimony. But the little boy who sat on the front bench and never went to sleep, Praise God. But they prayed for me that night. They prayed for me. And I went to bed, got up the next morning, sitting in the kitchen, talking like I'm talking now. Didn't realize that God had healed me for about 30 minutes. I start talking, and I was talking. And then I told the lady, I said, Mama, I ain't studying no more. We both start crying, tears of joy, because at that early age, I saw the hand of God. You can't. That's why I'm satisfied with Jesus. Devil should have killed me. He should have killed me when he had a chance. He should have, he tried to snuff me out. It was two fires. We got out of two fires in Harlem. Yes, we did. But the devil missed. Ooh, and now I'm rejoicing in bliss. What is this that God has done? He picked me up from the junk pile, from the, I'm just giving God praise, y'all. Excuse me. That's why I'm satisfied with him. And listen, all of us have a testimony. I'm trying to get you to recall all the great things that God has done for us in spite of us. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve his goodness. We don't deserve his mercy. We don't, oh glory, we don't deserve his favor, but he heaps it on us. That's why I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. If God would mark iniquity, who could stand? This would be an empty place. That's why I'll praise him. That's why I don't need nobody to pump me up, push me up, or pull me up. When I really think of the goodness of Jesus, not just a song, but when I really think of the goodness of Jesus and all, everything to the minutest detail, all that he's done for me, little old me, crusty old me, dusty old me, sinful old me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. God, I praise you. God, I bless you. God, I extol you. God, I honor you. God, I revere you. God, I reverence you for saving me. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Yeah, I got some things that I'm dealing with in my body. Yeah, we got some things that we're dealing with in our body. I got a back brace on right now, but I decided I ain't gonna let my back hold me back from giving God praise. Because soon and very soon, I'm going to have a new back and a new front, a new top and a new bottom. I'm going to have a body like Jesus. Woo, glory. Oh, I feel like running. That's why I'm satisfied with him, because he's going to make me like him. We're going to look just like him. Glory, glory, glory. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I don't want no tricks of the devil. The devil can't offer me nothing. I don't care how big the check. I ain't falling for it. I refuse to sell out. I'm satisfied with Jesus. He keeps on. He keeps on doing great things for me. He daily loads me with benefits. Oh, bless his name. I don't know if I'm preaching or just testifying, but I feel good in my soul. God is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Get in your mind that time. It may be more than one, but just get in your mind that time when you should have been dead. Think about that for a minute. I ain't gonna tell you what to do. I'm gonna just tell you to think about it. When you should have been dead. I had guns pulled on me, knives pulled on me. It may look like I'm surrounded. Oh, glory. But I'm surrounded by you, God. Oh, glory. I wish I could run like I felt like running. I might just do it anyway. Oh, glory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, that's why I ain't scared of no hood. Oh, glory. Oh, what? Yeah, I ain't scared of no hood. I'll go anywhere that God tells me to go, because he ain't going to leave me by myself. Oh, I talk to the Crips. I talk to the Bloods, the Floods, and no matter who. I say, what's up, homie? Jesus is up. That's what's up. Who you running with? I'm running with Jesus. Not Jesus, Jesus. Glory, glory. If I got to go down to the barrio and talk to the essays, I tell the essays, yeah, I come in Jesus' name. I'm satisfied. When we get this in our minds and keep this in the forefront of our mind, do you realize how powerful we are as a corporate unit? That's why the devil wants us to be distracted. And he wants to make us think about what we don't have. Guess what? Whatever you get, you're going to leave it behind. Huh? So don't sweat the small stuff. House, small stuff. Vehicle, small stuff. Okay, I got 5 vehicles. How many can you drive at a time? You might lower your insurance premium. That's practical, y'all. Ain't no need of fronting and flossing. Like you big money Griff. No, you ain't.
God, my God.
Huh? Get you, I don't get no kickbacks from nobody, but get you a nice, dependable car and ride yourself everywhere you got to go. And don't forget church. Be satisfied. Be satisfied with Jesus. Oh, glory. God, help us. Help us to be satisfied with you. Help us, Lord, because some of us ain't there yet. Some of us have seasonal satisfaction. As long as things are going well, ooh, praise the Lord. Ooh, my soul is rejoicing. But let a little storm come. Let a little storm come. Did you see Sister So-and-so this week? No. Did you see so-and-so, our brother so-and-so last week? No. How many weeks they've been out? They've been out 3 weeks. What? 3 weeks, and they come dragging in. I've been going through. That's the time you ought to come. Huh? That's the time you ought to come. When that devil mounts up his attack and ramp it up, you ought to run to the house. Huh? You ought to run to the house. And you ought to have a real praise that interrupts the order of service. Why are you praising like that? Because God's going to deliver me. We used to sing. Don't wait till the battle is over. Huh? But can I tell you, it's more than a song? It has to become reality. Huh? You remember what David did? When King Abimelech was about to kill him, David acted crazy. He acted crazy. And he was drooling at the mouth and acting crazy. King said, get this crazy man away from me. I challenge you, the next time the enemy mounts up a severe attack, come in here with some crazy praise. Come in here with some crazy praise. Jump over a bench if you have to. Now, if you get hurt, it's on you. But if you're directed by the Holy Ghost, you won't get hurt. So we got to listen. Who do we have in us? We got Jesus. So wait. It says in your Bible, the one you brought, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So if we have the greater one in us, it really doesn't matter what goes on around us. So there should be a praise
that dwells up and bubbles up in us. How can you praise him when your account says 0, 0, 0? I'll tell you what, I'll do you one better than that. I'll praise him when the account says negative something. Uh-oh, that means I'm overdrawn. That's a bad habit. But sometimes things happen. But I'll praise him because he's my deliverer. I'll praise him because I have victory. I'll praise him because he's my strong tower. I praise him because he's my provider. I'll praise him because he's my kinsman redeemer. I praise him because this is his temple. And since God dwells in his temple, there should be praise and worship in the temple of God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God, and you are not your own? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. When the last time your temple praised God? I got to stop. I got to stop. I had some more scriptures, but I think you got the message. Who's really satisfied with Jesus? These days are going to test that. These days are going to test that. Huh? So when you pull for your escape latch, when you pull for something and somebody, you better pull to Jesus. Huh? I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Listen, listen, listen. Today's a great day for somebody to get saved.